Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, so I'm sitting here. You know, I was looking out at the frozen lake. A couple guys out there ice fishing. Catching nothing. Even the fish are frozen. And I get a winter weather advisory on my phone from Madison. Please, no. Gotta get out of here.
What time frame are they what time frame are they talking there?
I don't know. All I know is it just came up on my phone. It's starting at 6 p.m., so I don't know. But believe it or not, I actually we're going to get back, I don't know, what, 2:30, 3 in the morning. I actually have a speech tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock I'm supposed to give to a group. That's my fault. All right. Our play-by-play call today. A little slice of history last night for Patrick Marleau.
Sharks beat it ahead. Here's Marleau breaking in. Breakaway backhand. He scores! Patrick Marleau has scored his fourth goal of the third period.
And what the last time that happened, four goals in a period by a player, what, Mario Lemieux?
Almost 21 years to the day.
21 years ago that he did that, yeah. Great moment. I was listening to sports on the radio earlier this afternoon, and they had a play-by-play cut from the Gonzaga-Portland State game, which Gonzaga won with ease. Even the Gonzaga play-by-play guy sounded bored. I mean, it's... okay, great, yeah, we're beating Portland. All right, since 2004... How many times do you think Ben Roethlisberger's been sacked?
I will say. Okay, so that's. Is that you're talking his entire career?
No, since 2004. Well, I guess it must be. I don't know. I guess it's pretty close to his entire career. Since 2004. So that's what, 13 seasons? How many times do you think he's been sacked?
I'll say.
13 years.
I'm thinking close to. I'll say 175.
Low.
250.
Low.
Oh, man. 380.
Low.
Oh, man. Five bills. I'll say four.
Low.
Four. Really? Oh, man.
He has been sacked 505 times, including the playoffs, since 2004. In second place in that span is Philip Rivers at 382.
See, my first guess was five bills. That would have been perfect for the Price is Right. I would have only been five off and could have walked home with the fridge.
Yeah, no, exactly right.
I mean, 505. You know, oh my goodness!
But instead, you guessed like 12 cents on the creamettes, which are like $4.95. I mean, okay. I mean, he's been sacked 505 times since 2004.
And you can do deductive math, and it's like, oh boy, if he could have only been maybe, yeah, if he could have been sacked right around the number that Philip Rivers is, how many more extra years of his career would that tack on?
Now, that includes the playoffs. Now, obviously, Ben's played a lot more playoff games than Philip Rivers has. Philip Rivers is second, though, at 382. I'm sorry, but that's the kind of punishment over time. And that doesn't include the number of times you've been hit and got the ball away. And we know he does hold on to the ball a little bit longer than some people trying to make a play. 505 is the number of times he got hit and went down with the ball. That doesn't include the number of times he got hit and got rid of the ball. Do you blame him for sitting back after a bitter, tough loss? and looking around saying, look, let's just at least think about this. Let's go through a process here for a month. Let's just see how we feel. Now, I think that's important for anybody to do in whatever they're doing, to sit back. Look, he's made a lot of money. He's made enough money in his lifetime. And he is not going to be wanting for a job. He doesn't have to want for anything. I mean, he doesn't just go to Costco and worry about spending. He thinks about maybe buying a Costco franchise. Okay. So, I mean, some people go to Costco to get great deals. He goes in there and thinks, maybe I can buy the place. I mean, that's where he is. And when you've been sacked 505 times in 13 seasons, including the playoffs, and that doesn't include how many times he's been, you know, he probably hasn't been sacked that much in the preseason. Doesn't play a lot in the preseason, but I'm sure at some point he got knocked down in the preseason. That doesn't include knockdowns and things like that that happen. I mean, quarterbacks make plays all the time when they get knocked down. And then the next guy behind him is Philip Rivers. Same span. And Rivers is a durable guy. He plays almost every game. You're talking Philip Rivers is 123 sacks behind him. 123 sacks. I mean, that's what, 9 per season behind him. And Philip Rivers hasn't exactly played behind the 7 blocks at Granite in San Diego. I mean, you want to know why he's contemplating it? Can you blame him for contemplating it? You know, he's now into his mid-30s. He has made more money than he could ever dream of making in his lifetime. He's won 2 Super Bowl championships. He's been regarded to be among the best. And he's also been sacked. He's also had a number of injuries in his career, and he's been sacked 505 times.
I mean, I'll admit, the last 2 Steeler games I've been to, I just kind of take a deep breath and just look down at 7 on the field, and I'm just saying to myself, this is not going to last forever. We need to take this in and just makes you wonder, okay, when is it going to end? And then what does Ben say today on his radio show? Well, we heard something that he's never really come out and said to the media until today, that he's going to take stock and take inventory.
Right. That was the Cook and Pony show on 93.7. Of course, we've had Ron Cook on the show many times.
It left him he left him flabbergasted. He couldn't believe Ben said that today. He had no idea how to follow it up.
it is hard to follow up because he's not the kind of guy that you would expect to give that answer. He's always been the guy that picks himself back up. Remember, he's the tough guy that gets himself back out there before, you know, he's out 4 to 6 weeks, and 3 weeks later he's out there. 2 weeks later he's out there. He's always been that kind of guy that comes back early. Now, he never plays well when he comes back early. I mean, he does not play well when he comes back early. But he still has had the guts to get himself back out there when I think a lot of other guys would not have made it. So he's always been the tough guy when it comes to that. But you know what? After a while, you know, there's only so much of the beating you can take physically and mentally. And mentally, that was a very hard loss. Because, look, you're rolling in there. You've got the best running back in the game. You've got a receiver that everybody thinks is one of the better guys in the game. Your offensive line is doing well. Your defense is playing a lot better. And so you really think you've got a real shot going in there. And guess what? From the opening kickoff, you had no shot. No shot. I mean, the Patriots totally, completely dominated that game. I mean, in the handshake line, Bud Dupree and James Harrison miss Brady. That's not good. You know, you've got a great running back who's been suspended twice and for the first time in his career actually played playoff games. Le'Veon Bell had never played a playoff game until they played Miami in his career. Never. Never. So he's either always been suspended or hurt. You've got a diva wideout who's obviously a great talent, but is also becoming a great problem. And you've got to, you know, really the best. Now, the key for him is going to be, I think those five guys up front, Sean, have become so good that I think it makes him feel better about coming back. I think that, to me, is going to be one of the overriding factors, that his offensive line has become really good in front of him, and I think they're only going to get better. Pouncey's just going to get better. DeCastro's just going to get better. Reuben Foster's done well. You know, Villanueva's been fine. I mean, that offensive line's not bad. I think there's going to be that desire inside of him to give it one more shot. But they're going to have to get some sort of balance on the other side of the line of scrimmage to help him out. He is going to need that. He needs to have another wideout over there, whether it's somebody coming back or if it's or somebody they pick up in free agency or draft. They've got to somehow balance out Brown, and they've got to make a big decision whether to trade Antonio Brown or not. He has 1 year to go in his contract.
Well, as you know, the Steelers don't make a huge splash in free agency. That's just not how the Rooneys roll. But what they did last year, they did make some waves by bringing in Ladarius Green. So it just makes you wonder if they're going to go back in the free agency pool this year like they did last year. And they do have some questions. Yeah, are they going to stick with Sammy Coates? They're going to hope he's going to heal up to 100%. And
no.
And do they think no. And Ladarius Green? Yeah.
Oh. There's no consistency in Sammy Coates.
No.
It's not like he hasn't been given opportunities, Sean. He has.
Oh yeah.
There's not enough NFL consistency in Sammy Coates for me to say, hey, the solution is sitting right here in front of us.
And they've been very patient this year with Ladarius Green. So will they hang with him and give him at least a full season to try and show something?
Mike Mitchell turned out to be a good free agent pickup.
I have a love-hate relationship with Mike Mitchell. I mean, he played a lot better this year, but you're thinking, okay, Patriots don't really have any type of running game at all, but yet he bit on that flea flicker to Chris Hogan.
He speaks highly of you. You know what's been really sad, though, during all this? Suit has been very quiet about this the whole time.
Oh, he hasn't been texting you? Oh, okay. I figured he was.
Oh, no, no, no. I've got that number blocked. We'll come back with more in a moment. You're on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Want me to call my Periscope account and show you the frozen lake? Oh, that's right. I don't have a frozen. I don't have a
wait a minute. Account. Oh, I had to fire up a news alert here. What? You had me there for a second.
No.
I should have known. I should have known that. What's with? Come on, that's a me problem there.
No.
Those guys out there at the lake still—they finally catching something or?
Well. Oh, no, they're just out there just freezing, I think. You know, it's we have a winter weather advisory now here for Madison. Now, here's the difference with a winter weather. When there's a winter weather advisory in the valley, how much snow is expected usually?
Oh, yeah, sometimes you'll hear 1 to 3, 2 to 4, 3 to 6, depending.
Right.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Here's a winter weather advisory from Madison.
Here we go.
5 to 8 inches. That's the advisory. We get 5 to 8 inches in the valley. It's a winter storm watch, winter storm warning. Yeah, here in Madison, it's the advisory. You might get some snow. It's all right. No big deal. You know, if it's near a foot, I guess we can say it's a winter storm watch.
So tip is 8 o'clock. Yeah. So tip is 8 Central. When are they thinking it's supposed to start?
9. Mm. I mean, look, we lead the league in de-icing. We're fine. Okay.
I said to you during the break, did you call the airport, make sure you got the de-icers on hand after the game?
Yeah, we lead the league in de-icing. We're good. You know, I mean, in fact, we're really good when, like, the truck is there and works. I'm not so sure people know the gist of that joke. At Michigan, at Ypsilanti, the old Chrysler Cargo Airport, at Willow Run, Yeah, the game's over. It was a 9 o'clock game, or an 8:30 game, I guess. So we go over to the airport, and look, this is one of those where you want to talk about easy. It's 8:30, game's over 10:30 out there at 11. We're out the airport at 11:30. We'll be up in the air 11:45. It's less than an hour flight from Ypsilanti back. We'll be back 12:45, no later than 1. I'll be in my house at 1 in the morning. Okay, that's the deal. We get there, we taxi out, and I mean, when we taxi way out. Okay. Now we're going to be de-iced. Okay, great. Except the truck doesn't work. What? Truck doesn't work. But that's all right. We have a second truck. Okay. Where's the second truck? It's back at the terminal. So we're going to turn around and take the plane all the way back. So then, I'm telling you, we're getting... I mean, it's amazing the information they give you, and you just... Hit a point where you just stop believing them. Okay? You just stop believing them. Well, in order to de-ice, it has to get to 140 degrees. Right now, they're at 127. Like, yeah? Okay. This is on the second truck. I said to Jeff Tarman and to Dick, I said, I'm telling you right now. I said, they're bringing a truck in from Detroit. I'm telling you. I said, that's... And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this other truck shows up while the other one is still running. And we get de-iced. We sat there for 2 hours. Finally got de-iced and got out of there, which worked out fine. Because Penn State is putting out a DVD of the 2016 season. Okay. Well, one of the key elements of the DVD is a sit-down interview for an hour, maybe 45 minutes to an hour, somewhere in there, that I do with James Franklin. Well, we got back at 3:30 in the morning, and I was there in his office at 8. Okay, here we go. I'm ready.
No truth of the rumor. No truth to the rumor that the airport that you're flying out of tonight is owned by the same people in Ypsilanti's.
No, well, Chrysler owned that airport. I don't know who runs Willow Run now, but Chrysler used to own that airport. It used to be their parts and distribution airport. I mean, I'm talking like, I mean, you could land a B-2 bomber there. It's got long runways. It's like, okay.
So this is the National Weather Service official definition of a winter weather advisory. Will be issued when 2 to 4 inches of snow alone or in combination with sleet and freezing rain is expected to cause a significant inconvenience but not serious enough to warrant a warning. That must be like the generalization definition of winter weather advisory for anywhere in the country.
Okay. Oh.
So that's interesting. Okay. You got an advisory, but with a higher amount of snow scheduled for Madison for tonight.
Here, that feel like. But you know what? There isn't any snow on the ground here. Like zero. It's all grass. There's none here. At all. Yeah, we'll see. But that's, I had to look this up. Like, what? What's going on here? From 6 p.m. Central Standard Time to midnight tomorrow. Great. Couldn't have gone to the ACC.
Or you could be at Duke tonight or last night.
Playing Florida State, Miami, you know.
Hey, good call by you yesterday, though. The discussion you had with Jennifer in regards to which team was a better team, Purdue or Duke. Well, what happened to Duke last night? You know, upset by NC State at Cameron. Lost by one.
I heard her in the background.
Oh, yes.
We mentioned Purdue and Joy across the land. Oh, well. And Jennifer just works hard. She doesn't claim to have a 118% increase in sales.
Listenership. It's all about the listenership.
It's all about listenership.
This end of the building. Yes, sir.
As opposed to, I mean, I did the math. I think that means he had three more sales in the month before. I mean, numbers are great until you run into somebody that actually does math. That's not true. Sports Bozo of the Day deals with golf. But not in the way you think of. It has nothing to do with an individual player. It has to do with a national policy. And not in the U.S. I think it'll be fun.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hubbell's Wharf. Time now for the Sports Bozos of the Day. The government of the People's Republic of China. It's kind of a wide net, don't you think? China has now announced a renewed crackdown on golf. China is going to be closing 111 courses. They say it is to conserve water and land. And they have told all members of the ruling Communist Party to stay off the links. Okay, China is not a small country. I think there's enough land. Now, the water part? Okay, remember Dottie Pepper on the show last Thursday? Remember we talked about golf course design and how the new golf courses in America do a brilliant job of being eco-friendly and water conservation, right? We talked about that specifically. All right. Developers build golf courses under the guise of parks and other projects, often with the tacit approval of local officials. Stunning, huh? All right. Golf has come under scrutiny by the way of sweeping anti-corruption campaigns launched by the Chinese president. The Communist Party warned. Now, you want to know how many members of the Communist Party there officially are in China? 88 million. Sort of a big number. They were told in 2015 that they were not to play golf anymore, likening it to extravagant eating and drinking and, quote, other bad habits that were at odds with the party's stated principle. An editorial in the China Daily Newspapers the following spring clarified that the party cadres were not to take any free memberships or rounds. China has veered over the years between rejecting and supporting golf. Mao Zedong banned golf after the founding of the People's Republic of China in 1941. They took one Shanghai golf course and they turned it into the city zoo. Mao, not exactly what you call the most progressive mind. Golf then began to take off in the 80s with Deng Xiaoping leading the way. Chinese leader who instituted sweeping economic reforms, courted foreign investment by the 90s. A course designed by Jack Nicklaus opened at Mission Hills in the southern Chinese city of Shenzhen. Mission Hills now has 12 courses and the largest golf resort in the world. Well, now they've changed their mind on it. Golf needs to go. They want to close 111 golf courses in the country. I don't know. it is... Now, remember, there are certain societies we don't know a lot about. Let's give you an example. As close as society as any would be North Korea, correct? I think that'd be fair to say. Yet, Kim Jong-un, the son of Kim Jong-il, emphasis on the last syllable, claims and has told the people of North Korea that he once had 18 hole-in-ones in an 18-hole round. He's done that. Now, I don't know what's sadder, him saying that or people believing that. They're closing 111 golf courses. Nah, look, if they can't support it or whatever, you know, fine. And I understand the water conservation point. I do. And I do understand that. And that's one of the reasons why you're seeing golf courses built in this country and in others around the year really taking the water conservation element into play. But golf is great exercise. At least for me, it's been. It's been a great, especially in my later years, where I'm out there, I'm walking around 2 to 4 miles. Sometimes the way I play, 5 to 6 miles. Hey, look, I found it. Swinging the golf club, as well as the walking part of it. I found it to be relaxing. Even on days where I sit back and go, excuse me, who put that sand trap there? How many traps are on this course? All right. But I find it relaxing. I played maybe 60 rounds of golf last year. Why? Because it's relaxing. It's fun. Some days it was 3 or 4 holes. Some days it was 18. In a society that then bans all its party members from playing golf... Is that a society you want to model your society after? And golf is just an example. You want them telling you you can and can't do a recreational activity? Really? I'll go on Lawrence's show tomorrow. They can argue with me. But I see something like that, and I'm thinking, man, you really are still a backwards country, aren't you? I mean, you're really backwards.
Well, it was front page news when the prime minister claimed he dunked over Dennis Rodman. Remember that?
Oh yeah, he did say that.
broke Wilt's record and scored 101 or something.
I mean, he's like 5'2", 5'3", right?
He's got a mean jump shot though.
Well, I can tell you right now, the rides at Fantasyland are open in that mind. So. Oh, my goodness. Well. But that is the sports bozos of the day. The leadership of the People's Republic of China. Banning golf, closing down 111 courses. Okay. There you go. So there we go. Okay. 505 times Ben Roethlisberger's been sacked since 2004. Second is Philip Rivers at 382. When you're talking about a 123 sack difference between two guys... Now, that includes the playoffs, but that's still a big, big number. That is a big number. So, it's no wonder he's sitting back and no wonder he's sitting back and at least saying, hey, look, let's be smart about life. Let me just take about a month and just, like, breathe for a moment and just contemplate everything. I think a big plus for him in terms of coming back, which I think he will. I think anybody guessing would guess that the odds are heavily that he will. But that offensive line is pretty good now. That really helps. got to keep him healthy because we know Pouncey's been out a couple times in his career. But for the most part, that offensive line's pretty good now. This is your team, Sean. This is the one guy you can ill afford to lose.
Well, you got that right. And since Ben came in 2004, they've only drafted three quarterbacks, and that's it. I completely forgot about Omar Jacobs, 2006, Dennis Dixon, 2008, and, of course, Landry.
Yeah.
When do you start to think long-term? The burning question, when do you draft the quarterback?
Yeah, the problem is, though, they're not in a prime position to draft one. That's the problem. Look, when they drafted Ben, what was Ben? Was Ben, what, the 11th overall pick in the draft?
You are correct.
The 7th?
Yeah.
11th overall pick in the draft?
Yes.
So it was, Manning was 1 to the Chargers, and Rivers was 4 to the Giants, and they flipped them.
Correct.
Right?
Yep.
And then Ben was the 3rd quarterback picked?
Right.
At 11. Right. Well, you don't have that kind of draft this time. And what's interesting to me is, did you see who skipped the Senior Bowl? Deshaun Watson. He skipped the Senior Bowl. I mean, I would think you would at least go there and work out. Now, it doesn't mean you can't skip the Senior Bowl and still not be drafted high. And obviously, there is a fatigue factor because he did just play in 15 college football games. I understand that. I mean, Penn State played 14 this year, which is the most Penn State's ever played. Well, Watson played 15 because they played in the ACC championship game as well as the semifinal and the final. But he opted not to go to the Senior Bowl. The guys that appear to be getting most of the pub, Mitch Trubisky out of North Carolina, is one of those classic drop-back quarterback types. The only real time I saw him play a little bit against Clemson. I saw him play his bowl game against Stanford. But that really is about it, and I didn't exactly walk away and go, whoa.
I just don't think he has enough college starts. I'm surprised he put his name in the ring. I would go with the guy from Miami before Trubisky, for sure.
Brad Kaya?
Yeah.
Well, you know what?
When you're thinking about classic drop-back quarterback.
Right. I completely understand that. But it's hard to evaluate quarterbacks today. But when you look at the quarterbacks, okay, coming out, okay, this is what they initially have, and this was updated as of yesterday. Trubisky is the number one quarterback in the draft. He is thought to be a first-round pick. Deshaun Watson is considered to be, at the moment, the number two quarterback in the draft. Considered to be a first-round pick. DeShone Kizer of Notre Dame is considered to be the third quarterback in the draft. They think he's a first or second round. Now you get to Patrick Mahomes of Texas Tech, and you then start asking the question, legitimately. Now he's 6'2", 229, which is pretty good. But is he a product of the system? Then the guy you're talking about, Brad Kaya of Miami, 6'4", 210. There's a lot of thought at the moment he's a third-round pick. Now, this is where it tells you about the depth at quarterback in this draft. And I'm going to say this with all due and complete respect, all right? But you are talking about the next level. When Nathan Peterman of Pitt is your sixth-rated quarterback in the draft, I think you've got a problem with your draft in terms of the depth of that position. Then it's David Webb of Cal, Jared Evans of Virginia Tech, Chad Kelly of Ole Miss, Josh Dobbs of Tennessee, C.J. Beathard of Iowa, Sefo Lufau from Colorado, Seth Russell from Baylor, Bart Houston from Wisconsin. See how thin this gets? Cooper Rush of Central Michigan, Alec Torgerson from Penn, Zach Terrell from Western Michigan. I mean, this is how far it gets down here.
How far do you think Chad Kelly could slip just because of the fact he couldn't play the whole in this past season? He barely made it through half the season healthy. He got knocked out.
6-7 or free agent. 6-7 or free agent for him.
That's wild just for the fact that he was deemed the top quarterback in the conference, at least going into the preseason, going into the September.
Yeah.
But they had that murderer's row going 1-2, and then they're pretty much their title hopes went down after that.
Yeah, but remember, he is the top-rated quarterback in the draft in the conference. There's no SEC quarterback in front of him. It's ACC, 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 or ACC, ACC, independent, Big 12, ACC, ACC, Pac-12, ACC, then SEC. Then it's SEC, SEC, Big 10, Pac-12. I mean, there are only, two Big Ten quarterbacks on there. Bart Houston, who's, they say seventh rounder free agent. He'll be a free agent. And the other one is Beathard. They got him as a seventh round pick, and I think he'll be a free agent, too. I mean, just not enough depth in this draft for you to sit there and start looking at how you're going to do it. I mean, I just don't, that's the problem. So, I don't, you're talking about a long-term solution. You've got to get lucky like the Eagles did. The Eagles played it brilliantly. And they get all the credit in the world for playing it brilliantly. They knew which guy they wanted. And they found him in Carson Wentz, and they traded up to get him at 2. And not only that, have done it in such a way where they still have a first-round pick this year to deal with. I mean, could the Eagles have played the draft any better? And they've got a gem in Carson Wentz. The Steelers, number one, rarely trade up. And number two, look at what we're talking about quarter. Who are you going to pick in that group? You going to pick Nathan Peterman? Really? The game manager. And again, I'm not being cruel here, okay? I mean, I watched him in person, okay? I mean, he made some nice plays and the whole thing, but I didn't walk out of there and go, "Hoop, pro, way to go."
Well, how many times was Ben was defined as a game manager's rookie season?
Yeah, but that's as a kid.
Right.
I mean, you could see as a kid he's going to eventually develop into something big. Oh, no. That was more style and the fact that he was a kid. All right? He had to be a game manager because that's what they needed for them to win. You could tell that they were going to transition to the point where it was going to be his offense where the game slowed down enough for him where all of a sudden he could take over games. Okay, that is only an observation of what they needed at the moment where he could really help his team win was to be the game manager at that point, that you don't throw the whole boat on his shoulders yet. When it was time to throw the boat on his shoulders, that's when they knew he could handle it because he had all the physical traits that you wanted in a quarterback. There's not one point early in his career where I didn't think he could be a big-time quarterback. I always felt he would be. It would just be a question of, when everything came together. He just had enough around him where he didn't have to. That takes a lot of pressure off a quarterback early on where you get a chance to play, get into the game speed, but you have enough around you to allow you to grow into the job. That's all. That's all we saw with Ben Roethlisberger. He was allowed to grow into the job to then let his natural attributes take off once the game slowed down for him and at a time when the Steelers then transitioned their offense to now the keys to this whole thing are in your hands. Didn't have to do it early on. He could make some throws, make some plays, had enough of a running game with Willie Parker. And a defense. So they won a Super Bowl that way. And he made enough plays in that Super Bowl. He did fine. Then the next Super Bowl came up, an older Ben Roethlisberger where the game has slowed down, where the whole thing could be thrown on his shoulders. He was actually the MVP of that game, not Santonio Holmes, in my mind. We'll wrap it up in a moment from Madison here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When you're looking for a new Ford vehicle in Central PA, there's only one. Only one deal. dealer with four city blocks of new Fords. It's Sunbury Motors Ford.
SMC is where you want to be with over 90 new F-150s priced from just $24,824.
See for yourself why Sunbury Motors has sold over 40,000 trucks.
Sunbury Motors Ford has over 70 new Ford SUVs in stock with 2017 Ford Escapes on sale from only $19,880. SMC has 45 new Ford cars with Ford Fiestas starting as low as $13,975. Plus, financing as low as 0% for up to 72 months on select models. You deserve to deal with the best. Sunbury Motors Ford. SMC is the dealer voted best in the Valley Reader's Choice for best car dealership,
best body shop,
and best quick service. Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
SMC, satisfying more customers since 1915.
Final moments of the show. Penn State and Wisconsin tonight. So one thing about Wisconsin, an easy team to get ready for. They start the same guys every game. This in the last 56 games, the starting lineup tonight for Wisconsin, it's the 55th time in 56 games this group has started together. Bronson Koenig is one of the better outside shooters, not just in this conference, but in America. And the bigger the moment, the better he is at the shot. Zach Showalter, nice three-point shooter, good fit with them. Vito Brown banged up a bit, so he's taking more threes of late. Nigel Hayes has not quite had the season I think people thought. I've thought Nigel Hayes really advanced his game as a sophomore to junior. He has not advanced his game this year. But Ethan Happ has. Ethan Happ is really good. The big man coming off career high 28-12 at Minnesota. Penn State's the younger team by a wide margin. Penn State is 332nd in experience on the roster out of 351. 332 out of 351. 57% of the production for Wisconsin comes from their seniors. 47% of Penn State's production comes from the freshmen. Right? Not an easy place to play. Ironically, though, for Wisconsin, they are 15-4 this year. They've played only two games decided by 5 points or less. Ironically, it's the last two games they played. So we'll see. Wisconsin did not practice their starting lineup yesterday. They only did side work. They only practiced the other players yesterday because they had to go to overtime with Minnesota. It was a long game the other day. 9 o'clock tonight, 8:30 the airtime. Great to be with you from Madison, where the ice fishing is good.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.